The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Judy Craig with PGA for the College of Septic Service. We're going to be talking about springtime and all the fresh, beautiful smells of flowers and the stuff you don't really want to smell that sometimes you call Julie and her crews in to help with. I want to thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
We were talking a little bit before the show, and you were telling us that you saw some unusual things this past winter. We had, you know, school closings and everything else, but you were seeing other things happening that you had never seen before as far as the cold and people's septic systems.
That's right. This winter we seen frozen tanks, totally frozen solid, sometimes 6-8 inches.
Cube.
Yeah, like a whole big solid ice cube in their tank.
And what do you do with a whole solid cube of tank? People are calling you saying, I want to flush my toilet, and
in that particular instance, that particular customer had to move out of their home until everything thawed out. There was nothing we could do. A company could have come in and jet their lines, added hot water, but the fear was it was just going to freeze again because of the situation. It was in the middle of the driveway.
And why would it freeze? Was it just up too high? Was it just happened to be the surrounding materials around it were conducive to lending the cold in? Because everybody has a tank, and you know, not everybody's did this.
That's right. Different tanks created different kind of heat. Some tanks were deeper in the ground based on how it was at your home. This particular tank was only about 18 inches in the ground, so it wasn't very deep. It was in the middle of a driveway where it pounded the frost deeper into the tank.
Plus, you're shoveling the snow off your driveway all the
yes.
time, which is an insulating factor on your lawn when you have a septic tank out there.
That's right. Normally, you don't want to remove the snow off of your septic field or your septic tank. It helps insulate so that the tank and the lines don't freeze. But sometimes people do it because they don't know where their tank or their field is.
I just didn't know that you could even put a tank in a driveway. I thought you'd crush the lid or something. I mean, they're not that sturdy. If you put a heavy vehicle on it, you could all of a sudden be scraping bottom with your vehicle here.
In today's day, you don't want to put it in your driveway. At this particular home, it was an older system, so of course it had been there for many years. Maybe at the time, the homeowner didn't even know that the tank was there, so they put the driveway on top. Always a good thing that if you're going to do any kind of building or excavating that you know where your tank and field are located so that you don't build on top of them.
And how would you go about doing that? I mean, for wires and stuff, you call Miss Dig. She'll tell you where the gas lines are and underground utilities, but is there a place you can start to try and find out where that's supposed to be?
Right. At your local health department started keeping records in 1972. Of course, the beginning records were sketchier. Today, they do beautiful, wonderful maps of where everything is. So a homeowner could call the local health department, give them their address and the township that they live in, and if they have record of it, they will let you know and they can give you a copy of that.
And was this the only instance you had of a frozen tank, or did you have them partially frozen? Did you have them with the, maybe the drain tiles were frozen under the ground where they were at? I mean, it seems like you could have had, you know, as much infrastructure as there is to a system, some part of it could have frozen up.
Yeah, we had several that had 6 to 8 inches of frozen layer on the top of the tank, inside the tank, which is kind of unusual.
Isn't that where it crosses over, though, at the top of the tank, so it goes into the next part of your system where you have just the fluids to go out?
Yes and no. Some tanks are open, so it's just one big open cavity. Some tanks have a wall where the fluid will cross over the top or the bottom. And
trying
as you
keep the solids on the bottom so they
correct.
Don't clog up your drain field.
If you have a lot of solids on the top of your tank, which you always have a scum layer there, and that scum layer can get thicker.
Is that a professional term?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, scum layer. As that raises up, it could cause you problems because the water wants to raise up your tee or your elbow and go out into your septic field. And if that scum layer gets too thick, it can't do that.
Now, this has to be things that would float on water. Are we talking like grease and stuff like that that would basically be on the top that would form a coating and a gel or whatever?
It's grease. It can be wipes, wet wipes that you flushing the tank that you're not supposed to. It can be the lint from your clothes, from your laundry, anything
so,
like
so
that.
So it would be good to have one of those socks or whatever that you put on the end of the washer to catch lint before,
yes.
before it gets into your drain system, because these things don't decompose as fast. And especially if it's a synthetic, it isn't going to decompose as fast as the other stuff.
That's right. Especially the wet wipes. We see more and more adults using them. We see home health care agencies come into the home to help with a loved one, and they flush them. And our recommendation is if you use those wipes, they're awesome. Put them in the trash can. They'll save you a lot of problems down the road with your septic system.
And but they say on the box, they're flushable, safe for septic, all these other things, you're saying you find problems with them.
That's right. I could take your sock and flush it. And just because it's flushable, it doesn't mean that it's going to disintegrate in the tank. There's not enough air and light and other factors to make that disintegrate because it's so nice and clothy. They're not paper thin like they used to be.
It's almost like in a dump. A garbage dump. They can find newspapers that are almost pristine because they've been buried and there's nothing able to get down there enough to decompose them. The same thing can happen with the socks.
That's
the
right.
Tank.
That's right. And we've seen customers. We had a customer pushed a pillowcase into his line because he didn't want the smell in his bathroom as he remodeled it. And he pushed it all the way through into the tank, and a year later he called us up because his system wasn't working. We opened it up, and lo and behold, there's those pillowcases. And other than they were dirty because
plural?
They were in the tank,
plural?
Pillowcases, two of them, we took them out, and they had not even started to disintegrate. And what they did was float it up in front of his inlet and caused him to have his system stop working. We removed them, pumped the tank out, and then everything worked great.
Well, there are a lot of synthetics in materials today that make them last and make them so they're you don't have to iron them and all these other kinds of
That's
things.
That's right.
And anything pretty much man-made, as opposed to organic, doesn't want to decompose anytime soon.
That's right. That's right. Our rule of thumb is if you don't want to put it in your mouth and eat it, other than toilet paper or human waste, don't flush it. Sounds kind of gross, but very true.
You're the you know the king and queen of gross. You know you got to deal with this stuff in the aftermath.
Well, and when we pump a tank,
most of us, you know, we think of this and we kind of snicker and stuff. But this is a job. You know, I'm very glad there are people out there who will do this because you know I could never see myself doing it or even having to do it in an emergency. You know, I'd call somebody.
And there's a lot of things you don't think about that, you know, maybe you can do in a big city system. They don't want you to, but people do.
Well, they think they can get away with it because it's a big system, and who are they going to trace it back to your particular?
Right. You don't want to flush female pads or condoms or tampon applicators or anything like that because we have to go home. Not home. We have to go back to our facility.
We were talking about that a little bit before the show, and she kept referring to taking the stuff home, and it's like, yeah, it may not be the way you want to make it sound.
Our facility is at our home, so
okay. We
take it back to our facility, and we have to screen everything out of there. The DEQ back in October of 2010 said everybody needs to screen all these non-biodegradables out of the waste as we land apply it or take it to a water waste treatment facility. So it doesn't matter who the hauler is. Everybody has to take it back and screen all of this stuff out. We have to put it in a dumpster then, which in essence goes to the landfill. And not only that it causes us more trouble and grief, but all those things in your system can make them not work properly, and it can cause you premature pump outs, or even the worst case scenario could cause you to ruin your septic field, and that's expensive to replace.
What you have in there now may not be anywhere close to what you really need or what would be engineered for today. You might be looking at a real expense or other type of systems needed because of newer regulations.
That's right.
Grandfathered in is grandfathered in for the time being.
There are a lot of systems out there today that are smaller, and today they would make you put a much larger tank in probably than what you put in many years ago, and possibly more lineal foot of septic field runs just because of the amount of water we use. It's based on how your land perks, how many bedrooms you have in the home, And what kind of water are you using? Do you have a dishwasher? Do you have a big jacuzzi bathtub? And all these things play into the size of that septic field. And so now what years ago might have cost $1,000 or $2,000, today could be $5,000 to $10,000. So you really don't want to ruin that field. You really want to take care of it and maintain it.
And I get the feeling that it's about the last thing people think of. You can see it along the shoreline. They were cottages, you know, summer cottages, one bathroom, a couple of bedrooms. Now they're full-blown homes, four bathrooms, washer, dryer, 24/7 year-round being used. And they may have the same little system that was sitting in front of them or behind the, towards the road all along. And they're trying to make that work.
That's true. We see that. We did have a customer, lived in the city, had a cottage in Caseville area, moved up there full time, and we pumped him out as a maintenance pump. And then we were back 3 months later again as a pump. And back there 3 months later again as a pump. And we recommended, contact your local health department, go in there, have them come out, look at your system, look at how you're using the water today. And they made changes according to the recommendations of the health department. We've only been back once in the last 7 years for a maintenance pump now, because he now has a system adequate. People buy a home that grandma and grandpa lived in for years and it worked great for them, and now mom and dad and four kids move in and it doesn't work as well, but they're using more water and they're washing more laundry and they're doing more showers
and exactly all this other stuff that goes in there that, you know, you did a little bit of dishwashing soap in one sink and rinsed them off, but that was fresh water that went through. Now you got detergent, soap, whatever kind of agents are in there, so you don't spot, and all this other stuff going into your tank.
Exactly. And then the cleaner your house is, not that I'm knocking anybody with a clean house, because I love a clean house, but the cleaner your house, the harder it is on your system. You put that antibacterial soap, the antiseptic mouthwash, all these cleaners with bleach and all the other stuff that's in those cleaners. And as you rinse everything off, you now just washed all of those harmful organisms into the tank. And all the organisms that are in that septic tank digesting it, just like your stomach digests, now turn sour, just like your stomach would if you had the flu, and they can't digest properly. And it causes you to prematurely have that septic tank pumped out.
Is there stuff you should put in there? I know there's people who religiously say, you know, put the chemicals in that you can buy in the store to make sure your system keeps working. Some people take packets of yeast and throw them down the toilet, hopefully with not the plastic in it, but,
right.
You know, but they put stuff in there. Any, you see it in the business, does it help? Does it hurt? Does it, are people, maybe they should use the money and just put it into account for the next time you need it pumped? I mean,
it's kind of six of one and half a dozen of another, really. I mean, as we go to education classes ourselves, there's no proven fact that any of those products work. Customers, when we come to do a maintenance pump, will tell us, oh, I use some of those products. I put it in religiously every month. You can see that they do put it in. It does seem to help most customers. But again, like you say, I had a customer tell me that if they were going to buy those products and spend $10 or $20 a month to do it, they felt they were further ahead to put the money aside, and in 3 years they'd have enough to pay for the septic pump out. So it comes back to a personal preference for the customer.
Then again, the people who are that fastidious to put it in every month would be the type that would be watching what goes down the drain and other things like that,
which absolutely
leads to the problems prematurely as well.
Right. If you haven't had your septic tank pumped in the last 10 years, I would highly recommend that you get it pumped. But if you have had it pumped in the last 10 years, you'll notice that you pump it more often just because of all the products that we do put down there that we didn't put down there 10 and 20 years ago. All the cleaning things.
Is there an expected lifespan of a system? You hear about people who've, you know, this is the farmhouse and it's been in there since they started putting septic systems in, when we stopped digging holes and moving the outhouse all over the place, and it's never been a problem. And then you hear about people who have problems all the time. Is there an expected lifetime when you put one of these in?
As a homeowner, you would hope or expect it would last forever, but we all know that that doesn't work that way.
Your roof doesn't last forever. Your driveway doesn't last forever. Your paint job doesn't. I mean, there's going to be maintenance, and there's going to be a time when you're going to have to really work on it again. But, you know, should you expect at least 10 years? Should you expect 20, like you do on a roof?
I would almost think, and again, it comes back to the type of land that it's on, but I would almost think that a homeowner could easily get their lifetime out of that septic field if they treat it correctly. There's always an exception to that rule, though, because certain grounds, certain soils do not drain as well as other soils. So obviously, somebody who has a septic system that's on gravelly ground or sandy ground, it's going to last a lot longer if they treat it correctly and if they pump it, than somebody who's got a septic system on hard clay that the drainage just isn't there, and that's going to be a system where the biomass going to build up underneath those pipes, and they would be the candidate to have that replaced a lot sooner than somebody else.
And I suppose it would also help if you're on a hill and it's draining downhill, and as opposed to being at sea level or water level, and you only got a couple of inches before you're hitting lake level.
All these types of
things fall into play as to how well it will drain. And today they have to modern engineer these things based on these conditions, and that's where the expense can come in.
Exactly. That, and some counties have even gone so far as you have to have your septic tank cleaned out and inspected before they'll even let you have a building permit. Here in county, and most of the counties in Michigan don't do that today, but some counties have found that people were building on top of their septic systems, or they were building on top of the only space they had left on their property for a replacement field, and they said, whoa, wait a minute, we've got to change that, because if this field fails, they got to have somewhere else to put it.
Because you can't always put it where it was. That may be, saturated or just not the right soil conditions any longer to put in a field, and you don't want to have to scrape down 4 feet and replace all the dirt and earth just to try and make it work.
That's right, because then that would be even more costly. We have seen people with septic systems that maybe they are too small. We talked, the family that moved into Grandma and Grandpa's house, and the field's kind of too small. The system isn't quite big enough to handle what they're doing. We have seen where the health department has recommended for those people to add on to the existing field, so they didn't have to replace the whole thing, but they could add on to it to make it work properly for them.
But usually in these instances, the tank itself is a little too small, too.
Yes.
You can't really do much about that. You can't put a second tank behind it or anything else. It's all got to...
It's all got to work together.
As a unit.
Right. If it works properly in today's society, the way we clean and use water, most people will pump their tank every 3 to 5 years. Some can pump every 5 to 7. The state used to recommend every 5 to 7, but with all the cleaners and everything, that's where they come in with the 3 to 5 now. So it depends on how you treat your system. If you treat it great, you probably can pump every 5 to 7, and if you treat it mediocre, you should pump it every 3 to 5.
And we've changed what goes into the tank too in years. It used to be your laundry may have pumped out to just a tile that drains out in the backyard somewhere. All of this now goes into the tank, so all of this bleach and ammonia and cleaners and stuff end up in there as well.
Exactly, and then even when your laundry goes in there, all of the lint off of your clothing goes in there, so, that hurts it as well.
Well, some of us just don't have lint. We're we're beyond
that. No lint.
We had a really massive rainstorm yesterday. I mean, it was blowing sideways. It was like, I was at my apartment. It was hitting both sides of the walls at the same time, east and west. It was crazy. And it was a lot of rain. Is this something that can tell you that your system may be in trouble if we have one of these big soaking rains like this and all of a sudden your flush isn't as strong as it used to be, or it's going to back up for a little while?
Sometimes it can be an indication that you have a problem with your septic field. Sometimes it's just a matter of... like the spring being so wet, the ground is never really dried out well, that everything's just so saturated, there's nowhere for that water to go. We've had customers that the septic tank has stopped working, and we went and pumped out the tank, possibly a 1,000-gallon tank, and took 2,000 gallons of water out of it. You can actually hear the water from the septic field running right back into the tank as fast as you pump it. And what it needs at that point is to dry out, and then it should work. If it don't work, then there's definitely a problem with the field. And there's no other way to tell.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, there's you don't do the robotic cameras in there or anything. You just basically have to say, it's not the tank anymore. It has to be this.
Yes, it's a waiting game. Unfortunately, we don't have Superman's X-ray eyes or anything that we can, you know, check it out under the ground. But typically, once the ground dries out, then everything will work. We see it a lot in the spring where a septic field, it isn't really frozen, but it's so saturated the ground and everything's melting, and that once it thaws, then it starts to work properly. It'll kind of reverse itself and everything will start to go down like it's supposed to.
And that's why your tank is supposed to have a little bit of a reserve in it. So if something like this happens, you can still continue to use it until it clears out at the end, and then out it can go.
Exactly.
Okay. When do people know they have a problem? Is this when it's gurgling up in your backyard, or are there telltale signs beforehand that you can sit there and say, honey, we got to get this checked?
There's a few signs.
Because you don't want it to happen on the weekend when you have all your relatives coming over and you got to tell them, we can't use the toilet.
That seems like that's when it always happens, on the weekends when the company's coming. But usually there are a few signs. When you flush your toilets, if you notice that the drains are gurgling, flush the toilet, the bathroom drain gurgles, or
that,
if you...
That could still be improper plumbing in your house as far as...
Could be, yes.
Water, you know, you don't have proper venting, but...
Right, and sometimes it's a case of a bird's nest or a squirrel dropped something down the vent. We've seen that happen.
Or they smelled the gas and fell in themselves.
We've seen that happen as well. Usually your signs, though, that you need your tank pumped are, if your drains run slow, or if you hear gurgling in the pipes when the wash machine water lets out or you flush the toilet, or if you actually see it backing up into the lowest drain of the house. And unfortunately, sometimes the lowest drain in the house could be in your basement. If you have a bathroom or a shower down there and you don't use it much, and you're upstairs, and it so it takes a while before you really realize that you have a problem. But those are usually your signs. We have customers that they use a little guideline to figure out when they want to pump it. We have several customers on the 5-year anniversary of when they graduated high school. That's the time that they pump it. So every 5-year increment, they pump their septic tank because that's how they can remember easily, oh, it's time to pump my tank.
Do you find, you know, we get more and more people move up here from the city to retire or whatever, and they want that country living, and they're used to sewers, and they're used to, you know, it's out of my house, I don't care. Now it's in your backyard, and you have to care. Do you find there's an educational cycle process that needs to catch up here? Because, you know, it's totally different. It's going out the same way, but what it does afterwards is your responsibility, not the municipality's.
Yeah, we do. When we come in and pump a septic tank, and pretty much every hauler does this, we try to educate the customer. Some of the do's and don'ts, things to put in, things not to put in. Because really it comes back to, if you want your system to last a long time, you got to be smart about it and know what you can do with it. And so as we talk to the homeowners, we always tell them, we're just trying to educate you. What you do in the ultimate end with your system is going to be all back on yourself, and how long it lasts is going to be all back on how you take care of it.
Yeah, well, when you're talking septics, you don't want it to come back to haunt you.
No, you don't want it back in your house. Once it's out, you want it gone.
And once it's out, you have to deal with it. And I guess the big question is, what do you do with it? Because, I mean, you're talking 1,000 gallons here, 2,000 gallons here. I mean, you just don't have a 50,000-gallon septic tank that you stick it in and do it. You have to treat this somehow. That's part of the cost.
That's part of the cost, exactly. Sometimes people say, oh, wow, it really is expensive. But in the ultimate end, what we do at your home when we pump the tank is only half of what goes on with everything that you remove out of that tank. Depending on who the hauler is, they either have to travel on to a water waste treatment facility and then pay that facility to accept that waste, or there are haulers like ourselves during the good summer months have land that's been approved by the DEQ to apply the septage to once we've screened it, and then you have to take and work it down in the ground with a tractor. Yep, you have to do that. And those pieces of land, we have to soil test every year to make sure that we're not over-applying. And we rotate crops on those on that land and keep our cropping records and use that crop for animal consumption, not human consumption. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes after we leave your home. And then all of these records once a year have to be forwarded to the DEQ.
That was the thing I was going to talk about. I imagine you have to account for every gallon that you've taken out of there, where it went, how it was treated, where it's going, because they want a paper trail. They want to know where things have gone.
Absolutely. Our local health department comes to our facility once a year, and they inspect the trucks, they inspect
the
land.
Do they draw straws for that?
sometimes maybe they do. There's two or three different gentlemen that can come out, and they can come at any given time, and they inspect the land that we land apply on. They don't tell us when we're coming. It's always a surprise.
Well, that's the only way to have an inspection. If you're going to tell them we're going to be there, they'll have their ducks in line that day, and tomorrow can be a whole different story. I mean, that's the way it should work.
Right. And, you know, we work closely with our DEQ on everything. We're required to have continuing education hours. So every 5 years, we have to turn in 30-plus hours of continuing education where we go to school and we learn about what's going on and how things are working and what's changing. So it's a whole big process once it leaves your home. It's not just a matter of throw a hose in, suck it out, and, well, geez, that was expensive. It's all the things that go on after that happens. And
I imagine you're licensed, you're certified, all kinds of other things have to go into this, because you just can't have anybody come, I'm going to pump your septic tank because I've got a truck and I've got a tank and we're going
to
do it.
You're right. We have to pay to the state, to the DEQ, money for every truck that's on the road, for every piece of land that we land apply to, for using a water waste treatment facility.
All this kind of stuff, because you're carrying what the government would consider hazardous waste.
That's right. That's right. It's a big process, and keeping track of where everything came from, because if we take it into the water waste treatment facility and they get something from someone that they consider a hot load, you know, it upset the balance of their system, they go back, who all brought loads in, where did their tanks come from, and they try to trace it back to where did this come from. So we only want to pump what we can legally put on the land or put into the water waste treatment facility.
And this is why you just put down the drain things that are appropriate to put down the drain.
That's right. And one of the big things don't do, as I think of things that are not appropriate, we don't pump, for instance, a car wash, because it washes the oils and the antifreeze and the paint and things off of your vehicles. Homeowners paint their homes, and they take those rollers and brushes into the house and they wash them in the sink or the bathtub. And that is bad, bad, bad. It will create balls of paint in their lines going out to their septic tank. Those balls of paint will plug them up.
Do them outside?
Do them outside with the outside spigot and garden hose.
And then what do you do with the stuff? Because the government doesn't want you putting that just anywhere either, if you know what I mean.
Well, probably the best would be if you could do it in one area and maybe even put a screen or a tarp or some plastic down so that you can catch those pieces of paint that come off and actually put it into your garbage receptacle. And if you have garbage pickup, that would be the best thing to do with it.
These are things nobody thinks about and you end up dealing with.
They don't think about them until they cause a much problem, and then they're like, I didn't know that.
Do lines simply just over time kind of shrink from coatings on the inside? Is there anything people can do about that? Is it just proper maintenance type of things that minimizes that? You're talking like the paintballs, and I would assume grease would do the same thing. I mean, you can only put water so hot down the line, and it doesn't instantaneously melt grease. If it's stuck on there, it's going to be on there for a while.
It does shrink. Today, anything that's put in is used plastic piping, which plastic piping is easier for the cleaning if you need to clean it. There are products that claim they'll clean the pipes out. Again, whether they actually really work or not, I wouldn't validate anything.
Do you have problems when people use Drano and liquid plumber and stuff? Because they're not, you know, let's pump it out now that the draw clog is done. We're sending it down the line.
It causes trouble with your system, just like any of the other household cleaners. We've had customers that have been so plugged up that we can't snake it, and they've had to call in a company to have them jet the line, which in essence is like putting a hot water power washer up the line. It shoots water forward to break up the blockage and shoots it backwards.
It sounds messy.
It is messy, and we don't do that, but there is a company in the Thumb that does do that. Some customers have the old cast iron pipe shut, and when you say about growing shut, that old cast iron grows shut and it leaves snags of rust build up inside. And what happens is, as your toilet paper and other things flush through that line, they catch on a snag, and so now there's a piece of toilet paper there, and the next time you flush, another piece catches on it, and next thing you know, it's plugged. And even though you can clean that plug out of the line possibly, a lot of times for the homeowner, it's best if they can get that cast iron replaced with plastic, because then it's clear and smooth and it just flows through there so much better.
Now, most of us old school people would have thought the cast iron would be better than the plastic, for crying out loud. This is sturdy. This is meant to be here 500 years.
But then it comes back to, usually the ones that have the cast iron piping are the old systems that are probably too small and inadequate to begin with.
All right, you got us. This time of year, what do people need to do for their systems? Did you use something in the spring that you should, to get them going again? I don't know. I rely on my landlord to take care of these things. do you need to do anything this time of year? Is this the time of year to check it? Before you have the big summer grill and everybody's around, or because I imagine it's cheaper now than to wait till the frost comes back again.
That's right. The state a few years ago changed, of course, all of our licensing and our regulations, and we no septic hauler can any longer land apply after December 21st until March 21st. It all has to either go into storage tanks or to the water waste treatment facility.
Then when you store it, you pay for storage, like you pay for storage at the elevator for your grain and everything else.
Well,
you have to pay for this, the containers and their maintenance and everything else. This has
storage
to be-
storage for a septic hauler. There are no septic haulers in the Thumb that have anything bigger than a 10,000-gallon tank. So basically,
that's 10 septic tanks.
Right, but there were weeks that we were pumping out this winter more than 10 tanks a week, just because of how the winter was. So the storage tank was used more as a drop-off and pickup point. A septic tank would be emptied into that storage tank, and possibly the next day when they weren't as busy, load the truck up and head to the water waste treatment facility.
It's an emergency. You want to get to the people now, because when you
exactly
don't have that thing working, it's a major deal.
And then the other thing was, is the water waste treatment facilities have limited hours, so Monday through Thursday, we were only able to offload from 7 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, and Fridays from 7 until noon. So if you called on a Saturday or a Sunday, we needed that space in the storage tank to get through the weekend to be able to take it back to a water waste treatment facility. So the best thing a homeowner could do is, before barbecue system, locate your tank, dig up your access hole, open it up, take a shovel, stick it in the thickness in the top and see how thick it is. If it's more than 2 or 3 inches thick, you probably need to have your tank pumped soon. And if you take a long pole and poke all the way to the bottom of your tank, you can feel the thickness at the bottom. That thickness at the bottom shouldn't be more than about 6 inches thick. And if you can feel that it's real thick all the way down, you need to do it soon. You most definitely want to do it in the summer months, when you don't have to pay extra to take it to the water waste treatment facility, because as they charge us $50 for every 1,000 gallons we take there, we charge the customer $50 for that as well, so that the customer is actually paying for that, not us.
Well, and then there's transportation costs, all the other things that have to go into there as well, because, you know, if you're just taking it back to where you're going anyway, that's one thing, but if you got to make a special trip with it, that's extra fuel too.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is winter set in early this last year. It set in November, and as the ground freezes, even if it's not December 21st, Once the ground's frozen and we're unable to work it in the ground, we have to start using the water waste treatment facility. And again, the cost goes up. So if winter sets in early this year, the cost will go up for the customer prematurely just because of the way Mother Nature is.
And you were saying this past winter, there came a time when hand digging was no longer an option.
That's correct. We had customers that would call. Normally we would offer to dig up the septic tank lid for an additional cost, which is a minor cost, but it got to the point where we couldn't put the shovel in the ground because the ground was so frozen. So before we would even come out, or before any hauler would come out, we were telling the customer, you need to locate someone with a backhoe and have them dig it up. When it's dug up, call us and we'll come out and pump it, because we didn't want to make a trip to your home, charge you, not be able to do anything, and go back to our facility and wait for you to call again and say the backhoe dug it up and now come back again. And sometimes that was a 2 or 3 day thing. So now you've gone without using your bathroom properly for 2 or 3 days because the availability of getting a backhoe out there was limited due to the weather again. You want to make sure you do all these maintenance things in the nice summer, spring, fall, but you don't want to do it in the winter.
And a holiday weekend.
And that does happen.
Well, if people have questions, is there educational materials out there, like on the internet and stuff? Can they search for reliable stuff? I mean, you can get people who will tell you anything. I mean, you probably know some reliable stuff they can go to. Do you have an association where you people are like, get together and learn this stuff?
We do. We have an association called MISTA. It's Michigan Septic Tank Association. There is information out there.
MISTA.
And we have a local website ourselves, and some of the other competitors in the area, they have websites and a lot of educational material on those websites telling you the do's and don'ts and things that you want to do to keep your field healthy and working well. And so there is educational material out there.
The big problems of, because it's like your furnace. It doesn't go off in the summer. It goes off in the winter when you need it, and you know, the septic goes out when the big weekend's coming up, and you got all these family members coming, and
absolutely
nowhere to go except the gas station down the road.
That's how it always works, isn't it?
Well, thanks for being with us. And again, you had actual frozen septic tanks.
We had frozen septic tanks, frozen lines, frozen fields. It was the most unbelievable winter that we have ever seen in the 18 years that we've been in business. And we had other haulers that have been in business for 30 some years said the same thing. They've seen things they've never seen before in 30 years.
Wow. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Our guest today on the program has been Julie Cray. We've been talking, she's from DJ Portable Toilet and Septic Systems. We've been talking about your tank, how to keep it maintained and keep it doing what it's supposed to so you can do what you're supposed to in the house. And if you have questions, again, go to their website. They have information there on do's and don'ts, and the most important ones are probably the don'ts. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.
USVA Whole New York.